Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
I wished on the moon for something I never knew. I wished on the moon for more than I ever knew. A sweeter rose, a softer sky, an April day that would not dance away.
Legendary writer Dorothy Parker is considered one of the most celebrated and scathing wits of the 20th century. She's been dead for 45 years, but she is on Facebook, and she updates her status several times a day and has over 140,000 friends. All of this thanks to author Ellen Meister. Meister has been captivated by Dorothy Parker's voice since her teen years, and in 2013, she delivered Farewell, Dorothy Parker, a tale that introduced Mrs. Parker to a whole new generation of admirers. Now, once again, she reimagines the very funny Dorothy Parker in the book Dorothy Parker Drank Here. It is a novel, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Ellen Meister to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you back.
Thanks. It's great to be here, and I love the way you described Dorothy Parker as scathing and celebrated. Yeah. I think that's absolutely perfect.
Well, of course, when you have a program that's called the Roundtable, you have to have anyone on who is talking about Dorothy Parker. So it's one of our mission statements in the program. So when it comes to your interest, what prompted you to become so interested in this woman and really take on her voice in some way?
Well, as you said, the interest dates back from the time I was a teenager and first discovered her poetry, and was absolutely shocked that somebody writing from such a long time ago could have such a fresh take on heartbreak and do it with so much wit and so much humor and be so utterly audacious about it. So that was my first introduction, and I tell you, I was hooked from the very beginning. And as I got older and read more of Dorothy Parker and read her brilliant short stories and her just absolutely shockingly relevant book reviews and theater reviews and her letters and more of her, my appreciation just grew and deepened. So I was one of those people who sort of felt a connection to Dorothy Parker her whole life. She was always that voice on my shoulder making insightful, sometimes very snide and snarky remarks about life, about people. And when I got the idea to actually take that voice and put her in a contemporary setting, it felt in many ways like the book I had been meant to write my whole life. I was so excited when I first got the idea for the first book. I almost couldn't believe it hadn't been done before, but it hadn't, and so I took on the challenge.
When you just said something about the snarky comments and so forth, do you find a happiness in her, or is there underlying this is sort of a tortured soul?
Yeah, absolutely the latter. Dorothy Parker had a great deal of pain, and to a large extent her wit was how she dealt with that pain. And it's interesting to bring it up because it is one of the things that felt very important to me to get across in the books. Because, of course, in Dorothy Parker Drank Here, I was very, very eager to show Dorothy Parker in all her witty glory. I wanted to capture that snarky wit. I wanted to entertain the readers with it. I wanted people to understand exactly how funny she could be. But I also wanted to get across the full complex woman that she was. So I wanted to show the pain behind that. And there really was, as you know, a lot of pain, a lot of depression, a lot of sorrow in her life. But also, beyond the pain, there was another side of Dorothy Parker, because people do think of her as somebody that had this really mean, sharp-tongued edge to her. But what a lot of people don't realize is that beyond that, she also had this huge, generous heart and was very dedicated to social causes. She cared very much about justice. She cared very much about humanity. So I felt a sense of responsibility while keeping the book entertaining, of course, to get all of that across about her, to show her in all her complexity.
The thing I thought that was really interesting about, well, the last book was really fun, and so I'm glad that you decided to write another one on this on Dorothy Parker. But this book is different because you have her sort of where we expect her to be, which is at the Algonquin Hotel in New York City.
Right. So what happened with Farewell Dorothy Parker, which was the first book, as soon as I got the idea, I envisioned her immediately sitting in the living room of the home of a contemporary woman, acting as her mentor, in some ways her tormentor, but also her friend. So as soon as I got that vision, I started to figure out a story around it. And the way I wrote Farewell Dorothy Parker, I never envisioned a sequel. So the book ends pretty definitively, without giving anything away for anybody who hasn't read it. It does end very definitively, did not leave the door open for a sequel. But as I was working on the next project, I was starting something that wasn't about Dorothy Parker, I just felt like I wasn't done with her. This character wouldn't leave me alone. She was kind of tapping on my shoulder saying, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? Because I can't write a sequel. And then I said, you know, I can write a prequel. As soon as I opened myself up to that notion, there she was in the Algonquin Hotel, lonely, looking for company, and a story sort of evolved from there. So that's what Dorothy Parker Drank Here is about. She's almost... It takes place almost exclusively in the Algonquin Hotel.
And this is where most of us sort of know these infamous roundtables to have taken place. And if you, I mean, spending time at the Algonquin is wonderful to see that haunt and just how beautiful it is and how well preserved it is. And the cat's still there, but it's really great. But so do you go there and have that feeling and sort of soak it in to write a book like this?
Oh, absolutely. I had to go visit the Algonquin several times to just connect with the place. It feels so rich in history, and it doesn't feel like it's been erased and something modern has been put up in its place. No, it feels like that rich literary history is still very much there. You feel very connected to the past when you're at the Algonquin, and in fact, I am going to be welcoming the book into the world tonight at the Algonquin, which is a tremendous treat for me. So that connection is going to really come full circle for me. But it's a tremendous place. I have my own personal connections to the Algonquin. My husband and I had our second first date at the Algonquin. And the first time I ever went there as a very young woman, who was sitting in the middle of the lobby holding court, but Truman Capote.
Wow.
So it's just yet another literary connection to the Algonquin. It lets you know how rich in literary history this place really is.
Well, the book is really just wonderful and fun and interesting and funny. When you finished this one, were you definitive, or did you say, okay, there may be more of these?
Well, I definitely learned after the first one never to say never. So I can't say that I was actually thinking, oh, gee, what's the next one going to be about? I'm going to write another Dorothy Parker book. My focus was really on writing this book, making it feel as wonderful and complete as I could make it. That said, is there another Dorothy Parker book in the works? Very possibly. I mean, I'm toying with certain ideas right now. You know, the way I work is... I don't write a book unless I feel like it comes alive to me and it's going to be something very exciting and dynamic and compelling, because if it's not compelling to me, it's not going to be compelling to the reader. So I'm working on an idea right now, and if I feel like it's a book that is begging to be written, I absolutely will go with it, and then there will be another Dorothy Parker book, but we shall see.
Meanwhile, you still have the Facebook page, and this has really been very, very popular. I assume to an extent that you were somewhat surprised by it.
Oh, absolutely, utterly surprised. You know, when I got the idea to start the Dorothy Parker page, I thought, well, this will be fun. I'm very curious to know. You know, you sometimes when you're a big fan of someone, you feel like you're all alone in the universe. There can't possibly be other people that like Dorothy Parker as much as I do. So I said, let me see what I can find on social media. I started this Dorothy Parker Facebook page, and I thought, maybe I'll connect with a few hundred fellow Dorothy Parker fans. Well, fast forward 4 years, the page has 148,000 followers. They are all Dorothy Parker fans. They are incredibly engaged with the page, and it is just a tremendous amount of fun updating it daily, connecting with these people, hearing their stories, their connections with Parker, and, you know, it's really been a singular joy. It's really a great part of the journey for me.
The name of the new novel, Dorothy Parker Drank Here. It is published by Putnam. Ellen Meister, a great pleasure to have you on the program again. Thank you so much, and best of luck with the new book.
Thank you so much.
Very nice. Again, the name of the book, Dorothy Parker Drank Here, published by Putnam. Ellen Meister is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.